Anthony Walker, a black British teenager born in Liverpool, was just 18 years old when he was brutally murdered in a racially motivated and unprovoked attack while he was walking his girlfriend home after babysitting. This is the case of Anthony Walker.
This one's very close to home for us.
Yeah, this is another local case. And do you know, before I did the research for this, I didn't know it was a local case. I knew about the case, but I didn't know it was in Liverpool.
Neither did I. Like, not the fact it was in Liverpool. I think it's just before our time, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah, it is a little bit before our time. So it's one of those things. It's like, but there's lots of other ones, and I've just known for some reason that it was in Liverpool. For whatever reason, this has just totally passed me by. I was surprised to realise it was in Liverpool, even though I knew about the case and could tell you like lots of details about it. Just like before doing any research. But then when I've gone into research, there's you know, lots to, you know, talk about with it being in Liverpool and things like that.
Yes, and I think it's really important that we talk about this as well. And the Anthony Walker Foundation obviously is still a massive part of this case and is promoting racial awareness in schools, and they do excellent work, and we can talk about them at the end, can't we?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, as usual, please go and look on all our socials, things like that, join the Patreon, Accuracy Morbid on everything.
Accuracy Morbid pod or podcast, but you'll find us.
You'll find us. Go follow the TikTok. Please follow the TikTok. It takes so long to make those videos.
We're trying to be cool.
We are trying to be down with the kids. But yeah, so Anthony Walker was a devout Christian. He loved basketball and was well known by his friends and his family for a good sense of humour, his empathy to others, and his work ethic. He planned to finish college and head to university in America to study law. So he had like plans, he had ambition, goals. Like that's a lot, really, isn't it? Like, to be like, I'm going to go to America. And yeah, that's the thing with stuff like this, when you can clearly see what a nice person they were. And, you know, like, he was very charismatic, you know, things like that. If you watch interviews with people that knew him at the time, he just seems like the most lovely person. And it's almost more sad in a way to know, like, he had all these ambitions and stuff like that, because obviously they got, like, really cruelly snatched away from him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. So, however, on the 30th of July of 2005, his life was taken from him by Michael Barton, who was actually the brother of footballer Joey Barton. He's played for like clubs like Newcastle United and things like that, and he's a football manager now. Because I sort of knew the name Joey Barton, I am not into football in the slightest. I knew the name Joey Barton. I was thinking, why do I know that name? And then I've done this case, and I'm like, ah, right, okay, so he's the footballer. And that, again, this is another thing I found out and made that connection of he's actually the brother of one of the murderers. And also the cousin to Paul Taylor, who was another one of the murderers. So it was two people. It was Michael Barton and Paul Taylor. This is not an unsolved mystery like we've done the past 2 weeks. This is very like a open and shut case. We know straight away who it was. And it was a complete unprovoked attack. So on the evening of the 30th of July 2005, it had been quite an unremarkable evening for Anthony. He was at home babysitting his nephew with his girlfriend, Louise Thompson, for the majority of it. Once his family duties were done, he walked with Louise and his cousin, Marcus, to the local bus stop, because they were walking Louise, you know, like, to a bus stop home. They were doing gentlemanly things, as you should.
Make sure your friends get home safe.
Yeah, exactly. Being good, you know, being good, kind, that sort of stuff. So once the group arrived, a stranger, Michael Barton, proceeded to shout racial abuse at Anthony and Marcus. They decided to walk on to another bus stop rather than stick around, but Michael and his cousin, Paul Taylor, followed them in a car and continued to harass them. That just makes my blood boil, because it's like, it's not like they've even been, like, that could have really easily sort of provoked Anthony and made him shout back at them, or, you know, like, something like that, but they didn't. They were like, you know what, no, we're going to ignore it, we're just going to keep walking to the next bus stop, we're not even going to go to this one, which is the one we wanted to go to in the first place.
And this was 2005.
This is 2005. It is not long ago at all. When people say things like, oh, racism's not a thing anymore, you know, and get annoyed at things like Black Lives Matter. Well, no, this is 15 years ago. This is 2005. And this is still happening to people for literally no reason at all. They were walking to a bus stop. They weren't doing anything. You know, it's horrible. Michael and Paul then decided to attack the group. Louise and Marcus managed to escape, but Anthony was stabbed in the head with an ice axe. He was taken to hospital, where he was pronounced dead at 5:25 a.m. And after this, Michael and Paul fled to Amsterdam because obviously they knew they'd murdered somebody. And that's sort of where this sort of chase, like a cat and mouse sort of thing, starts, because they've decided to go, basically. Even if it wasn't sort of premeditated, what they've done after it really shows, like, that's calculation. You know, they've gone and fled somewhere else, isn't it? Even if they didn't. Taylor and Barton also had quite a reputation for racially abusing others. This wasn't just like a one-off. And Taylor as well also had prior convictions for battery and burglary. And at the time of the crime, he was actually on early release from a young offenders centre because they were also quite young. Michael Barton was 17 and Paul Taylor was 20 at the time this happened. So they were all around the same age, with Anthony being 18 at the time. But it sort of shows that this wasn't uncommon behaviour for them. This is what they were like, you know, like on a daily basis. They were known for being racist. They were known for those sorts of things that they were doing time, which is just speaks to the sort of people that they were, really. By the next morning, Barton and Taylor had fled to Amsterdam when police named them as suspects. Barton's brother, footballer Joey Barton, appealed for them to return to the UK and turn themselves in. So they flew back to Liverpool on the 3rd of August and were arrested and charged with Walker's murder. And it's said that this sort of appeal from Joey Barton was like pretty much like the main reason that they both just returned sort of amicably, and they flew back into John Lennon Airport and were arrested pretty much on the scene as soon as the plane landed. But I can imagine that must have been quite the sort of this is again why I'm so confused as to why I can't remember this, because Joey Barton going on the TV and like appealing, you know, for like his brother, that seems like something that should really be, you know, like sticking out in my memory, because that's quite a big deal, isn't it? Like, you know, like that it just so happened that his brother is a famous footballer, you know? It's weird.
It is, but also, right, this is why I think it's not in our memory as ingrained as it should be. This was like, you were in primary school, I was just going into secondary school. We were both in primary school. So I feel like my head events after that happened. You know, I don't feel like I was culturally aware of events happening until like maybe year 8, year 9.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I can kind of see that. Yeah.
Like the only big thing I can remember happening is 9/11.
Yeah, that's very similar to me actually. And I suppose the next thing after that would be a case we covered a while ago, the Rhys Jones case, which was a couple of years after this, wasn't it?
And I think that's when I probably started to become aware of things like this, because yes, that was 2007, wasn't it?
I think you're right there. So the trial took place between November and December of 2005, and on the 1st of December, Taylor and Barton were convicted of the murder, passing life sentences with minimum terms of 23 years and 8 months for Taylor. Obviously, he's the elder of the two, who admitted the murder just before the trial, and 17 years and 8 months for Barton. Lord Justice Leveson said that the cousins had perpetrated a terrifying ambush and a racist attack of a type of poisonous to any civilised society. Barton's sentence was reduced by 8 months to 17 years in 2016 in recognition of improvements towards his attitude and behaviour. So as it stands right now, he's probably going to be out within the next 2 years. So at the moment, they are both still in jail, but he's going to be out in about 2 years' time. And also, I think it's another important thing to mention here, Barton didn't actually admit to the murder until, you know, like afterwards. Taylor did, but he didn't.
That's not long enough.
I understand that he's like, if he's improved his behaviour and stuff, yeah, okay, that's great, that's all well and good, but 17 years is still a pretty short sentence, I think, because he'll only be in his 30s when he gets out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why reduce it by the 8 months? I don't get it, you know? Just leave the 8 months on there and make him serve his time. And also the 4 months that he spent in reprimand but while the trial was going on and stuff, that is also counted towards his time as well. Three other people were later found guilty of helping Barton and Taylor flee to the Netherlands as well before their eventual arrest. On the 10th of May 2006, Robert Williams was convicted of providing money and booking a hotel room for the pair. He was sentenced to 2 years and 4 months. Paul Mawson was sentenced to 11 months in prison for providing them with a getaway car. And Tracy Garner admitted to assisting an offender and received an 11-month suspended sentence and 50 hours of community service. And again, that's just shocking. Like, why are people helping, you know, like people who've just brutally murdered someone for literally no reason? Like, there was absolutely no reason for them to do it. They just did it because they could, you know?
People are bastards, that's all.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. It's like, why would... And the, again, this is sort of ringing, you know, like, familiar sort of bells, because this is what happened in the Rhys Jones murder. People were helping, you know, and, like, covering it up and things like that. And it's just... I just don't understand it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Anthony Walker's mother has explained her attitude towards her son's killers, saying things like, "I have to forgive them. I can't feel anger and hatred because that is what killed my son." And that, like, really... That's so heartbreaking, isn't it? And I assume, like, she's a Christian as well, because obviously Anthony was quite a devout Christian, and obviously a lot of their thing is to, like, believe in forgiveness and stuff. But that bit where she's saying, like, she can't feel the anger and the hatred because that's what killed her son, that completely gets me, because it's so sad. Like, and it's, I feel people who can do that are so strong, because it's such a big thing to be able to do that and be like, well, no, that's what's killed my son, so I'm not going to hate anyone, you know? It's really sad. She must be strong, because I don't think I'd be able to do that, genuinely.
Well, she went on to create the Anthony Walker Foundation in his name. Can I read this like message from her at the first thing that comes onto the website?
Yeah.
So it starts with, "Tackling racism, supporting those experience hate crime, and building safer, stronger, thriving places to live is kind of the mission statement of the Anthony Walker Foundation."
Yeah.
And she says, welcome to the Anthony Walker Foundation website, and thank you for taking the time to consider the work and role of the foundation. In the aftermath of my dear Anthony's passing, my family and I decided it was necessary for us to establish the foundation. It is vital for us as a family that the memory and legacy of Anthony lives on, that all he loved and aspired to be is not simply forgotten. Don't let my son's death be in vain were the words I spoke, and these sentiments are as important to us today as they were in 2005. The foundation and the work, the messages it delivers here on Merseyside and much further afield is so important. Everyone associated with the foundation is committed to making a difference, to challenge prejudice, discrimination, inequality, and instead promote peace, harmony, and integrity. Sadly, we have to admit that racism and other forms of hate and discrimination does take place. It happens in schools, in the workplace, public places, and we cannot and must not turn a blind eye to it. It's not easy, and we must strive hard to show our forgiveness, our compassion, our love. I can speak from personal experience about how difficult this is. However, I hold fast to my dreams. What we consider once impossible can become possible. If we believe, if we have faith, and we work together. I thank you personally for your support, your kindness and belief, all of which keeps the legacy of my son alive, all of which helps to offer hope, not just now, but into the future. And that's his mum, Dr. Guy Walker.
That is really powerful, isn't it? Like, she's a very, like I was saying before, she's a very strong woman to be able to do this, and obviously to make something good of his name as well, which is just that.
And the foundation's worked with, like, 40,000 young people, like, going to schools. And if you go on the website, especially if you work with young people, like teachers, educators, youth workers, there's all sorts of resources on there about about hate crimes, about equality, about racism. There's assemblies, lessons. There's a whole, like, unit of work called Colourblind, which is a resource, and there's a DVD that goes along with it, which is really, really powerful. You can get people, and they go into schools as well and run workshops. There's also a facility on the website to report an incident, and they work with lots of corporate people as well to try and do it. They're strongly affiliated with LGMU, and a lot of their trustees on the board are part of Liverpool John Moores as well. So go and check them out, and as always, especially during the pandemic. Charities have been struggling.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to go and donate to
them. Yeah, that would be amazing. So obviously his mum was really strong and she set that up, but his girlfriend, however, Louise at the time, who was actually present during the night of the murder, has took a sort of opposite stance, saying that she's never going to forgive them, saying things like she hated them for what they'd done. She said things like Anthony and her had something special, obviously being his girlfriend. And now he'd been taken away by the and described them as evil young men, saying that she still feels that Anthony is around her spiritually, and that sent him a text when Barton had been found guilty, as it just seemed the natural thing to do. And I think that is one of those things that people do, don't they, is like a way to sort of cope. Like, you know, like they'll send them a message, or, you know, like they'll ring a phone to hear their voicemail and things like that, which is really, you know, that is really sad. And it's just one of those ways that grief works, and it's just really hard. But another thing as well that's been done, which I think is worth mentioning, is in 2008 the Crown Prosecution Service announced a legal scholarship in Walker's memory. So the scheme offers one place in CPS Merseyside to a trainee solicitor who wants to become a fully fledged solicitor or barrister. Obviously this is really important because this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to go and study law. So I think this is like amazing. And this is open to any black or ethnic minority person who has secured or intends to apply for a place to study in the legal practice, or, you know, like doing anything like that full time. So that's another, like, you know, nice sort of lasting legacy for him. The Liverpool Echo also bestows an Anthony Walker Young Citizen of the Year award in his honour every single year, which again I think is a real testament to, like, you know, like how much people wanted to do, because Liverpool was, you know, in mourning during this time. And when his funeral was held on the 25th of August 2005, it was actually attended by over 3,000 people. The whole of Liverpool was completely shocked and grieving at the loss of this man's life in such a horrible way. And the entire service was broadcast as well on a big screen in the city centre. Again, showing like how many people, you know, you think about the people who physically like attended the actual funeral, there were probably a hell of a lot of people watching on that big screen as well, because it was being broadcast to everybody. So, but yeah, so that is the case of Anthony Walker. It is very open and short, like we said, very short, but again, it's because the, you know, there was the witnesses. Obviously he was with his cousin and his girlfriend at the time, so it was like, well, it was them, and obviously they were known racists as well, that, you know, they ended up admitting to it too. So it was very open and short, this case, even though it was a short one. I think it's such an important one to do, because crimes like this are preventable. They don't, it, there was absolutely no need for it to be done, because I mean there's no need for any murder to be done, but sometimes, you know, it's like caused by an argument, or, you know, like something like that, isn't it, like a crime of passion, if you like, or whatever. This is just totally out of the blue, literally no reason other than he was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Racism, yeah, is the racism. Reason racism,
yeah, exactly. Exactly, it's just, it's horrendous. And he did absolutely everything right as well. He did everything he should have done. And to be honest, he shouldn't have even had to, you know, like, walk to another bus stop.
No, nobody should feel unsafe. Nobody should be put in that situation. And I imagine for black people, that is horrendous, like 10 times worse.
Yeah.
That fear, that intimidation. And we've seen this year, like, if we think Anthony Walker's case was in 2005, there's still cases like this today. Not like, things need to change and change quickly.
Oh, massively, yeah.
And that's why it's so powerful that his mum and his family are so still fighting this. Although the legal battle is over, they have still got this fight to change the world. And they are so powerful. And I know of the Anthony Walker Foundation through school and the work they do in schools, and I think it's fantastic. It's a very powerful case. There's still a long way to go on the road to equality. So please, if you can, donate to the Anthony Walker Foundation. Spread awareness, raise awareness. Educators out there, get on that website, because there's so many amazing resources out there. And I think this is something that we need to make sure students are getting educated about, and especially young people, and all young people. So Danny, that was a very harrowing case. Thank you very much for listening. what case are we going to be going on to next week, Danny?
So next week, it's February, 1st February. So we've decided to do sort of like a theme of, like when we were talking about crimes of passion before, sort of things like that.
Yeah.
So we're going to be looking at Melissa Young, the case of Melissa Young next week. So obviously, if you want to do a bit of research, you can. But if you'd like to just be pleasantly surprised...
like I am
every week, yeah.
Every week.
If you want to be pleasantly surprised, obviously, just tune back in next Monday.
Yes, and can you believe that January's gone so quick?
I know, we're already at the end. It's crazy.
But also, don't forget, this Friday is our Freaky Friday. It's the last Friday of the month on the 29th. So you can tune in for our Freaky Friday episode, which this month is all about conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And if you've enjoyed this podcast, make sure you rate us 5 stars on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. You can follow us on social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Curious and Morbid Pod or podcast. You do the work on that. You can also help us out on Patreon. The good stuff starts at the £5, dollar, whatever your value currency is, tier, and you can get merch through there. You know the spiel. I'm not going to give you it again, but join us on Pates.
Please join us on the Pates.
But in the meantime...
stay curious.
Stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Rare production. Our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin MacLeod.
Yes, MacLeod.